Oh, Go ahead and go to the seats. I'm glad to see that everyone thawed out. And then it was cold. I've been cold for the last week, I think, and I could put on 2 or 3 layers of clothes and be in the house and the heat and still be cold. I don't know what the deal is, but anyway, it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you, and it's good to see each one of you come out today on Christmas. I was thinking earlier, it's kind of the irony of, oh, we're Christians and we celebrate the birth of Christ, but we don't want to come to church on Sunday, on Christmas Sunday, you know. And so, but anyway, I appreciate each of you coming out on Christmas Day, and it is a day of worship for us.
That's right.
It's it certainly is, and so we best place to be in the house of the Lord with God's people. So we just want to go ahead and turn to the scriptures. Just a couple of short scripture readings here. We'll begin reading St. John chapter 8, verse 32. St. John chapter 8, verse 32, very familiar scripture that we use all the time. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I want to read also from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Another one that we refer to quite often. Colossians 3, 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. For the title of this today, Christ in All Things. Just bow our hearts to Him. Lord, we want to just tell you this morning that we love you, Lord, and we just want to just give honor and praise to you today, especially today. But Lord, it's just to give you preeminence in this service this morning, that you come and speak to us. Lord, we're here, we just lay our hearts open before you and just ask God that you'd come and have your way. Speak to each one, those present, those that are streaming, those that will come along later and stream later. We ask, Lord, that you'd speak to everyone in your own special way, in glory to yourself. We know, Lord, as you do, it always is an edification to your people. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Christ in all things. So rather short scripture reading there, but you know, to me, and there's a lot of powerful scriptures, but to me, these two scriptures are two of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. And so may the Lord just grant to us the blessing of His Word this morning that we can share with you the thoughts that He's put on my heart. Yeah. And so, two of the most important scriptures, you shall know the truth. There's nothing like knowing truth.
Yeah,
you know, and there's people all over the world right now, you know, that Christianity all over, you know, and they all think they're serving the Lord, but there's just something about serving the Lord in truth, knowing what you're talking about. And so, just like we've mentioned many times, that if you have a person who's doing labor, work, you know, skilled labor, there's nothing like a person that knows what they're doing. They can do it. I was saying the other day that I watched Brother Papa when he's doing mud work, and he's got that pan in his hand, you know, and he don't even look. He can wipe that knife off and not even look at it, and he can flip that pan around and do a 180 and never even look at it, and it just lands right there in his hands, you know. If I did that, you know what would happen, you know. But there's nothing like truth, and there's nothing like someone who knows what they're talking about, you know. They even said that about Jesus, that he's not like the Pharisees. He knows what he's talking about. And so there's just something about someone, a person, a Christian, who knows what they're talking about. You can tell it in their voice. You can tell it in their walk. You can tell it in their conviction. I was in conversation with a man at work the other day, and he's like, you know, all about going to church and so forth. He said, but I don't get into all this, you know, well, you wear this or not wear that or do this or not do that. I just don't do all that, you know. And I thought, you know what, you have no conviction, right? Because truth, the scripture says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not just set you free, but make you free, right? I know you get tired of hearing him saying it, you know, that it doesn't say it'll set you free, because you could be set free and then wind up being bound again.
Right.
But when he makes you free,
yeah,
right? If you could say, go all through the world and find freedom, and when you find it, I'm looking at a believer.
Yeah.
He's free. And no matter, he can be in jail or wherever, he's still free because he has truth.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's the thing there. And so, but this truth does not come by intellect.
Right.
It comes by revelation from Almighty God. So we're very, very versed with that in the scriptures. And so that scripture is, to me, is so important there. And then the one we read there, it says that to do all that you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus,
yeah,
giving thanks to God and the Father by him, by Jesus, right? And so to do all that we do in word and deed, and I like to use this when I'm talking to someone about baptism, right? Do everything that you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so, you know, you can't go to a bar room in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? You know, you can't lie about your neighbor or lie about something in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? You know, you can't cheat on your taxes in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? Whatever it is. See, but the scripture says that everything you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that automatically narrows it down, because, and of course, a believer's not going to be cheating on his taxes, or not going to be doing these things, going to bar rooms and drinking and all that. They're not going to be doing that. But the whole thing there is to show you is that every aspect of our life, everything we do, should be done in such a way that it could be unto the Lord Jesus, right? In the name of the Lord Jesus, right? In the power of that life, because there's a life behind the name. And so to be able to be kind to your neighbor, can you do that in the name of the Lord Jesus? Sure. Can you come to church on Christmas in the name of the Lord Jesus? Sure.
Yeah.
Right? Can you be a blessing to others? Yes. So the whole thing is that our entire life, that a believer under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God, that we walk and live in such a way that every act that we do, everything we say, everything we do, should be done in such a way that it's in the name, the life of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And so by doing that, he goes on to say there that that when you do that, and I'm saying it to get this point across to you, that when you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, then you are giving thanks
right.
to your Father by Jesus, who is the Word.
Yeah.
Right? So we are giving thanks to him by the Word, when you live the Word, when you accept the Word, because that's the avenue that God has extended his grace to us, is through the Word that he's laid out for us. Mm-hmm. And the only thing for us to do is accept that Word and let it live through us. And by doing that, we are giving thanks to our Father for everything he's done for us. The best way to give thanks to him is to live it.
Right.
To accept it and live it, and don't let something push it out of the way and be replaced with something else.
Yeah, right.
Amen. And so all we do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, our Father,
amen.
By him, by the Word. And we realize there's only one God, right? I mean, God, there's people who worship gods, but there's only one true living God. There's only one who's omniscient. There's only one who's omnipotent. And only one who's omnipresent, right? And the scripture says that all things, you can read this in Colossians chapter 1, all things were made by him and for him, and he is before all things, and he is the head to the body, so that in all things he could have the preeminence. Why should he have preeminence? Well, because we came from him,
right?
And he's the head. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient, right? He's omnipresent.
Right.
I'm not.
Right.
You're not. But he is.
Amen.
And we came from him. And so it goes on to say, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Yeah.
God didn't put all fullness in me or you.
No.
But God did put all fullness in him.
That's right.
And so he has to be the preeminent one. He is the preeminent one in the kingdom of heaven, in God's economy. He's number one,
amen.
Not somebody else.
Amen.
And if we put anything else above him, it's not in God's kingdom. Right. Yeah. It's some other system, some other way. Mm-hmm. And so all things were made by him and for him. And so when you know these things, when you know truth, when you know it, that truth that has, and again, I said, it comes by revelation, not by intellect. And so when it's been revealed to you, when you know that he's the only creator, mm-hmm. when you know that Satan can't create, when you know that he's the preeminent one, that we come from him, and you know all these attributes, you know his attributes, and then it doesn't belong to someone else, then why would you look somewhere else for his attributes? Yeah. Or why would you attribute to someone else things that only God has?
Right? Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. God is the only one that knows whether you've been bad or good.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So why would we take that attribute and apply it to somebody in a holiday who knows everything and can visit every house on earth in one night? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, it's so simple and so you know, there's no harm in it. No, there is harm in it because it's taking away from the preeminent one.
Yeah, right.
Taking and applying something elsewhere when he deserves everything. He deserves it because he's the one that has brought us here. He's the one that saved us.
Yeah.
He's the one who provides every breath we take.
That's right.
And it doesn't come from anywhere else.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's wrong to give to anything, anyone else, what only belongs to God.
Right?
Amen. Listen, you know, if my wife, I'll just use it as an example, if she said, boy, Brother Daniel's the handsomest man on earth. And you know what? Maybe, okay, let's say he is, right? And so, you know, and she could say that, so you know what? You're right. But if every day she's constantly going about and saying, Brother Daniel, he's the most beautiful, most handsome, every day, how long do you think it would go until it would bother me?
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. So when you know that he's the one it all comes from, that when Christ is the one that saved us and it all belongs to him, and yet we spend our time going around talking about somebody else or something else or Santa Claus or whatever it is,
right,
all year long.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve to be treated that way.
Right.
He deserves to be in everything we do. That's why I tell us Christ in all things.
Right.
He should be in all things that we do. Everything that we do should give honor and glory to him.
Amen.
And if we are real Christians, that's the desire of our hearts.
Yeah.
Right? If we're real genuine Christians, that's what we want to see more than anything else in the world, is to see more people come to know him and to know his goodness and to find out that he's all that they need.
Yeah.
That's more important than anything else.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Not just our families, but everyone. I want everyone to experience what I have found to be true with God.
Amen.
Coming into a place where you know that he is your keeper and that when your time is done here, you're going to go be with him. Because he made it possible. And so when you know these things, why would you look somewhere else? Or why would you want to apply to someone an attribute that you know they don't have?
Right.
And you have to lie, live in deception to believe it and to teach it. And so we know that God is the author of life. His word is the way of life. His word is the tree of life. The tree of life bears fruit. You know the typologies and things in the scriptures.
Amen.
So we realize he's the author of life. His word's the way of life, the tree of life. But we also know that he has an enemy. He has an enemy named Lucifer or Satan. And you know, an enemy, to be an enemy, that means he's going about to work against you, to tear down what you're trying to do or what you stand for,
right,
to pull away from you, to harm you, to defeat your plan. You see what I'm saying? Working against you.
Amen.
Because if he's working for you, then he's a friend.
Yeah, right.
But if he's working against you, then he's an enemy.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
And so from that very concept, you know that for Satan to be an enemy, that anything and everything that God stands for and what he is and what his attributes are and what his plan is for his people, everything that God has and is, Satan has to work against that or else he'd be a friend. Right? Brother Evans said that Satan, and this is true, Satan can imitate all the spiritual gifts and all that after, but he cannot be the Word. Right? He can't receive the Holy Ghost, because Brother Rev said if he did, then he'd be your brother. Right? But in order for Satan to be that enemy, he's got to be tearing down everything and anything and everything that God stood for, either by deception or by force or whatever. But that's what makes him an enemy. He's anti-Word. Because Christ is the Word, right? The Word is the anointed one. And so he's anti-Christ, anti-Word. Either by being trying to be an imitation to it or just flat out being contrary to it, he's anti-Word. And so the first thing that Lucifer did, we know, was in heaven he convinced a bunch of the angels his lie. And, you know, people think, well, you know, they can outsmart the devil or whatever, but you can't. It takes Christ and him alone. So the first thing he did was he convinced the angels that he could build and have a bigger, better kingdom than that of Christ or of Michael, as we know. Michael was Christ in angelic form. I said that one day up there in Bartlesville. Brother Claude, you know how studied he is. And he had not caught that. And it just lit him up when he realized. He said, that's what it is. That's what it is. Michael was Christ in angelic form. So Brother Graham says here, in Christ is the mystery of God revealed, he says, what did Lucifer do? The first thing that Lucifer done to separate the fellowship of God and man, he wanted to build him a united kingdom of greater splendor and seemingly more cultured, a greater kingdom than Michael, Christ, had. You got it? Now, if you miss it, just hold up your hand and I'll say it again. You see? See, Lucifer, at the beginning, his purpose in heart was to achieve a brighter and greater thing in heaven than Christ had. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. By seemingly a more cultured, more beautiful, more splendor than the kingdom of Christ. Do you think that we'll have automobiles in the millennium and airplanes? This is Brother Brim saying that. Do you think we're going to have automobiles and airplanes in the millennium? We know the answer to that.
Right.
No. Because we're not going to need that. Right. God doesn't need that in his kingdom. But he goes on, he said, see what Lucifer is doing? See what he's doing? So Brother Brim says it many ways. That, you know, Lucifer thought he could have a better kingdom. And I looked up many of them, there's no telling how many, but this is some of them. But Lucifer wanted a more beautiful kingdom, a more beautiful church, a better kingdom, a more glamorous kingdom, a bigger thing, a brighter, shinier kingdom, a more cultured, greater kingdom. Now look at all the different ways that Brother Branham described that. Because this is what Satan will come to tell you. That when you want to live for God and you want to represent him and all that you do in word and deed to point to him and give honor to him, then Satan's going to come along and try to tell you that he can provide you something better, more glorious, more shiny, a better way of doing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No matter what it is, he's going to try and tell you, oh, this is a better way to do it. This is a better thing. And right. This is what he overthrew angels in heaven with. Well, you think if he can make a third of the angels fall from their habitation, they're done because of what he did to them. Right. What do you think he could do to humanity? Mm-hmm. This is exactly what he has done.
Right. Right.
And so, this is what he did up there in heaven. And then he came down to this earth and he began to do the same thing here on earth. To pull away from God. And to pull away from all the attributes, everything that belongs to God and that people should worship him as, Satan began to pull away from that by applying it elsewhere and deceiving people. He making God many gods, deifying men, causing man to fend for himself and causing man to begin to create cities after himself and name them after himself, into having to turn to science and culture and splendor and glory of man's making, right? Looking to himself what he can do rather than God. And by doing all that, pulling him off into idolatry. This is exactly what happened in the first. He come right out of the Garden of Eden knowing there was one God, right? And very quickly moved off into the teaching of many gods through Nimrod and his dad, and making them begin to believe in more than one God, and in that movement begin to deify themselves, make themselves into gods. Right? This is a history. Read your church age book. Brother Man talks about these things in there. Mm-hmm. And so making man believe in many gods and deifying themselves. And we know the scriptures said that Cain's lineage, they went out and started building cities and naming the cities after themselves.
Right.
Well, now think about that. If God is all, they're all in all, but they want to name the city after themselves. People try to say that, oh, our history about being founded on Christianity is wrong. Just drive up the East Coast, right up through New Jersey and all that, and look at all the little towns that are Bible names, one after another, just all up and down through there, because that's what was on the people's mind when they came here, was to live for God. And they wanted to point to Christianity in the scriptures. And so, this is what he did. He began to make men believe in many gods and do all these different things, and pulled man right off into idolatry, believing in many gods. Now we know that in the Garden of Eden, in through life, there's two trees. There's a tree of life,
right.
And then there is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God's word, God has brought to us through his word, through Christ Jesus, the tree of life that we can eat on and live forever. But then Satan brought to us the tree of I'll call it the tree of death. It's a tree of knowledge and good and evil. And Satan features that, the tree of death. And so the tree of life, like I said a while ago, comes by revelation. But the tree of knowledge and of good and evil comes by intellect, by knowledge, by something outside of revelation. Something that can be taught to you, something that you can just join up and become part of or whatever without a birth. But the tree of life requires a new birth. It requires a birth. It requires a connection with Almighty God by revelation.
Yeah.
And so that's the two trees. And we're going to live by those one or those trees.
Yeah.
And so we realize that the tree of knowledge is a tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
And evil. But you see, Satan does not feature. He doesn't tell you about the bad, the evil. He just points you to all the good that this tree so supposedly can offer. He wants to show you, look at this. This is a better way than God's way. Just like what he did in heaven. This is better. We'll go this way rather by an intellectual teaching and joining up something and a handshake or whatever than a new birth where you're born into a relationship of revelation to Almighty God.
Yeah.
And so all Satan features is all the good that comes off that tree. All the nice hospitals and the nice schools and look what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Working contrary to the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with hospitals to help people. Thank God for them, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with schools. Thank God for it.
Yeah.
Right? But there's evil in it.
Right.
And that's what you have to understand. If you're not eating off the tree of life, and you turn and you eat off that other tree, yes, there's good. And perhaps most of everything you could look at on that tree looks good. But you must know that there's death in every portion of that too.
Right?
Right? You know, I could have just as easily, and I would never do this, But just to give you an example, I could just as easy, I could come in and have brought all kinds of candy and cakes and all kinds of stuff in here to give to you, and you could look, oh, look at all that, and it could have poison in it. Someone who's a deceiver. Oh, they'll make it look good. They make it look and attract just so they can get the poison. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? Get that poison in there. And so if you just remember that if you're going to get the good off that tree, you're going to take a bite of bad with it because it's in there. Yeah. Let me say it this way. It's impossible to eat off of that tree of knowledge and not get evil in it.
Right.
You can't take even a crumb of anything off there and not get some death in it, because that's what it is.
Right.
And so, but the tree of life has no death in it at all.
Right.
No portion of the tree of life has death in it. No portion of Christ has death in it, because it's life.
Right.
Right? No portion of his word, no portion of God's economy, the way God laid it out, what comes from his attributes, none of it has death in it at all, because it is life.
Right.
Right? It is, like I said, it'll make you free, because it is, you are free. This is life, and it will make you free when you connect to this truth that comes from this tree of life.
Right.
So, but the tree of knowledge is a tree of convenience, a tree of compromise, and a tree of control. And I've said this before. I heard Brother Biscoe preach years ago, and it stuck with me. If you go back in the scriptures and you look at what Jeroboam did, Jeroboam the son of Nebat, he brought idolatry into Israel. And you remember where the kingdom was split between Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and with Jeroboam. And Jeroboam had 10 tribes, and Rehoboam had 2. But, you know, and Jeroboam having the 10 became the wicked side and became what was known as Israel. But Judah stayed righteous longer. They eventually got mad too. But Judah had those 2 tribes, and they had Jerusalem. And remember that the Lord said, now you're going to go and you're going to worship me in the place where I'll place my name. And he placed his name there in Jerusalem, right, which was the time of Christ. And so everybody was to go and worship the Lord at Jerusalem. Well, when Jeroboam became king over Israel, Judah still had Jerusalem up there, and everybody in Israel was going to be coming up there to worship and making this long journey up there and coming up there where Rehoboam was and where Jerusalem was and the temple was and all that. And they'd all be coming up there to worship. And Jeroboam said to himself, if these people make this trip all the way up there to serve God, like the word says, as they do this, their heart will return to Rehoboam and I'll lose my kingdom.
Yeah.
Right? How many of you remember reading that?
Right.
So you know what he did? He set up some calves, the golden calves, I guess, one at Dan, one at Bethel.
Yeah.
Right? And remember, God had spoke through Moses and said, when you come into this land, if there's any man, woman, or even a tribe that begins to worship these other gods, I'll blot their name out from under heaven.
Yeah.
Well, Jeroboam set these up at Dan and Bethel, and those people began to worship that. And instead of going up to Jerusalem, they compromised and they worshiped there because he made it convenient for them.
Right.
You won't have to travel all the way up there.
Right.
And so he made it convenient for them. And because of that, Dan and Ephraim's names were blotted out from under heaven. And when you get in the book of Revelation, when it names all those tribes, those names aren't there.
That's right.
Because God remembered what they did. But it was all because some guy who wanted power, wanted his kingdom, wanted to stay in control, laid out something there that became a compromise for the people. He made something convenient for them, made it easier for them to serve God this way. You know, you don't have to go through all this trouble to go all the way to Jerusalem.
Right.
Just do this right here and it'll be fine. And it was a compromise. But he did it so he could control them and cost them their position in the rankings of the tribes of Israel.
Yep.
So it was there for convenience, but it was compromising and it was control.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to realize that tree of knowledge is the same thing. It's a tree of convenience, because it will, it's going to try and tell you, here's a better way to serve God, or here's a better way to live, different than what God said. Because what God said is on the tree of life. But this is a different tree, and it's a tree of compromise. It's a tree of convenience first. I want to tell you, to make it convenient for you. Right? So it makes it so being a Christian doesn't have to be so hard.
Right.
We'll make it easy for you. You know, you don't have to do all these things. And so, but in order to eat off that, you have to compromise. And there's death in it, and so you wind up, you're now being in control, being controlled, right? Because you've compromised. And so what Jeroboam did there is he made it harder for the people to live by truth. He made it hard. And you say, well, but you have to realize that when that was the only option they had was to go there, then that's what they had. But when he made something else here that became a compromise for them, now he made it harder for them to go all the way to Jerusalem, because now they have this deception, this pull, trying to make him think, well, we can serve God in this capacity and it's still okay.
Yeah.
And so he made it harder for them, because you realize after a while, you know, kids being raised, well, you know what, some go right here in confusion. God's not author of confusion.
That's right.
See? And so you realize this tree of knowledge is this compromise and control, but it's convenient. Satan's not going to come to you and make it harder for you, right? He wants to make you come the easy route.
That's
what I'm trying to say.
Right?
The scripture says there's many goes this broad way, right? Easy way. Mm-hmm. But there's a harder way. Straight is the gate. Narrow's the way that lead to righteousness, and few there be that find it.
Yeah.
Right? So, this tree of, and so what I want to show you is that God is the only one that deserves to be worshipped as God and recognized as God and all the attributes it has. Mm-hmm. But this other tree begins to pull away from that and try to make people think that God is three gods, or you can worship this other way, and everybody's okay, and just as long as, and God knows your heart, and all these things, and he lays this out, and then it makes it harder for people to worship God in truth. And remember, once you know these things, and you worship God through truth, by him, you're giving thanks to God and our Father, by this word, because you're living this word. But when the word's been confused, it's been compromised and so forth, it makes it harder for a person to get to God in true worship.
Yeah.
So when Satan says, well, you know, you don't have to dress that way to be a Christian. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You can serve God just at home.
Yeah.
Somebody said that this week about them. I said, listen, it is the body of Christ, and there's no way that you can be a blessing to the other members of the body when you're sitting at home.
Right.
Every member of the body supplies something else the other parts of the body need. We supply one another's needs.
Yeah.
So I just said, look, you know, you're not reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when Satan says, oh, you don't have to do that, you don't have to dress that way. God knows what's in your heart. See, compromise.
Right.
Convenience. Mm-hmm. Compromise, but there's death in it because it's off that other tree.
Right.
Living from the teachings off of another tree,
yeah,
rather than living by the word of God. And so it's convenient, but it's got death in it. Taking Christ out of Christ the Word out of it. And remember, everything we do in word and deed, and then Lucifer wants to come around and he wants to make sure that everything you do in word and deed does not point to God.
Yeah.
Does not give honor to God. Taking truth out of daily life. And then when truth is taken out of our daily life, when we no longer have truth to live by, then we no longer are free.
That's right.
Because if you know the truth, it'll make you free. But if you don't know it, you're in bondage because Satan has done that.
Yeah.
So we must not be eating off that other tree. Satan is a shrewd fella. He's no dummy. So he makes it hard for people to stay with the word because he makes so much confusion and makes it so convenient elsewhere. And so by featuring all the good that shows, and he comes along and says, see how wonderful, see how this was such a blessing and people enjoyed this and how much fun it is and all that. And so let's just do this. And people not realizing that death is in it. So we realize Satan set out there at the beginning, and we just mentioned there at the beginning of about Nimrod. Satan set out there in the Garden of Eden. When he came down, he set out to make all men idolaters.
Yeah.
That's his plan, was to make all people idolaters. First by deception, and then by force. As all this doctrine began to come out, you know, multiple gods and deceiving people. But then Nimrod went out and forced people.
Right.
He went out and forced people. Remember the first horse rider? Why? Deception. But after he got enough strength in the deception, then he got off and he got used that power that he got under the white horse deception. And now he went out and he was forcing people with his because that's the tactic. Let's deceive them and then thus force them. Right? Deceive them by confusion. Make it where they fall for your tricks. And then those who won't fall for it, well, we'll make them go.
Right.
And that's what Nimrod did. Right? So Brother Branham said in God's Only Provided Place of Worship, he said, notice nothing in the Bible types denominations but Babylon. Think about it. Nothing in the Bible types denominations except for Babylon. Babylon was founded by Nimrod, and Nimrod was a renegade, says your prophet. Right? Because they believed in one God, but then they brought him into deception to believe in many gods and deifying man and putting women in worship and beginning to worship women in their religions.
Right.
Brother Bram said they had sex acts in their religions.
Right?
And all that when God's one God. Well, only God has the attributes that should be worshipped.
Yeah.
But then they made themselves gods and begin to deify themselves so that then afterwards they're looked at as gods and so forth. Semiramis, and we went through this here a long time ago, but you understand. Here's God who is alone has these attributes, but now man under Satan's leadership is beginning to give attributes of God toward man and toward other things and making him pulling away from that position God has in himself there being standing alone.
Right.
Bringing it over into other things. And so they went off into all these things. And then so when you read in the scriptures, when God come to Abraham, this was the condition in the land, see, worshiping all kinds of gods. And God came to Abraham and called Abraham to worship one God.
Yeah.
See, when God gets involved in your life, he wants first place, and he deserves first place. He deserves the only place.
Right?
Right? So, if God's moving in your life, he's going to be drawing you to himself. And he's not three, and he's not five, and he's not 20.
Yeah.
He's one. And he will be drawing you to himself. If I take a rope and throw to Brother Daniel, I can only pull him to myself.
Right.
And I'm not three or four. I can't pull him that direction and that direction. Oh, you'll be the Father. I'll pull you to the Father one day, to the Son one day, and to the Holy Ghost another day.
Right.
But the deception, see, Satan, there's an anointing that goes with believing lies. So that when people are underneath the anointing, they think it's clear, and it's not. And so he called Abraham, and when he called Abraham, he called him to believe one God because he is one God. In the midst of Babylon. And I won't say that he was in Babylon so much. What I'm trying to say is that Babylon is all this entire world that believes all these many gods and nonsense. It's Babylon.
Right.
Babel. Confusion. And in the midst of all these nations and all that land of many gods, God called Abraham and said, I know you live in the midst of all this, but I'm calling you to truth.
Yeah.
I'm calling you to myself, one God. And so the history of Israel was that they're all those, the whole thing was that was they were the, to be the offspring of Abraham was to believe in one God. Oh, we just have one God. Even the movies portray this, you know. Well, which God is blessing? Well, we only have one. Well, you only have one? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we only have one. And we'd only need one when he's as good as the one we know, right? But only one. And so Israel's whole thing was, their whole thing was in the midst of Babylon, in the midst of all these nations that believes all this stuff, they were to believe in one God and know truth. And be free. And so that was their history. But all through that time, look at all the times that Israel fell away and began to worship other gods. The temptation was there. You ever stop to wonder about that? What was the matter with them people? They've seen all the things that God did and that he was, but then they got pulled over into all this other false worship, because it shows you the power of that deception. And working on human nature to know that after a while, that a few days after God's done a miracle in your life, you'll kind of forget about that. Yeah. And Satan will capitalize on that. Mm-hmm. When you know good and well, you know God can fix your thing right now, right? But then you get off into doubting and so forth, and instead of waiting and believing by faith. And so Israel would get off, and they'd get off into idolatry, and God would spank them, and they'd come back. And every time they would, every time they'd get away from true worship of the one God and get off into this other stuff, it would lead to immoral living. Mm-hmm. It would lead to what these other religions have, sacrificing their children. Yeah. Every time they'd get away from that tree of life, from God alone, giving honor back to him and him alone. Every time they get away from that, they get off into all kinds of problems and filthy living and everything that you see out there in the world.
Right.
Yes. That's what would happen. Mm-hmm. When you leave truth, you go to Babylon.
Right.
Because there's one truth. And that's Almighty God and his word.
Amen.
Which became flesh in Jesus Christ. And now wants to live in you in the form of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's one form. And so they'd go off into all those things. And so that's kind of what we see happen there in the Old Testament. But Satan has done the same thing in the New Testament. Making people believe in three gods. Causing people to believe such things as that the angels could come down and press themselves in the flesh to have offspring with women who was giants. And Brother Ren said, well, then you'd make Satan the creator. But they believe that stuff. Write books about it. And so, back then, making me believe many gods and deifying man and women worship. And here we are in the New Testament, and they take and they make three gods out of him.
Yeah.
Right? And set people up in high positions to be worshipped. Bishops and all that sort of thing. And women worship. Making Mary the mother of God,
yeah.
Trying to make her greater, right?
Right.
Putting women in the pulpit to preach, making the woman, the church, the woman, making her word greater than his,
right.
Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's what they've done. That's your New Testament churches, you were talking about,
yeah.
Right? Making the new birth into something as simple as just a handshake, putting your name on a church book, or some sort of sensation that you had. That's what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's come all the way up to our day, and these things are with us. But there's a tree of life that restores truth. But you see, Satan wraps up all those things in such a way that he makes it hard for people to get to truth.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people tell me, When the churches all agree and quit fighting one another, then I'll start going to church.
Yeah.
You know. You know, we like that. It sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like that's That's right. But you see, then you'd have, in order to do that, you'd have to marry up with something that's totally contrary
right.
to the kingdom of heaven. And so it makes it hard for people to find truth. And therefore makes it hard for people to do everything that they do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because now they're living deception. And you can't live something out to the name of the Lord Jesus and give honor to God when it's a lie. When it's deception. You can't do that. You realize that when people worship God under a lie, the worship gets diverted to Satan. That's right. Satan, he just said, ha ha, they think they're worshiping God, but I'm getting the worship because they're doing it under a deception I had put out there and they believed it. That's exactly what it is. Right? So don't make the mistake of thinking, well, you know, I just don't know, so God, no, truth is available. And God speaks to the heart of man, and he knows what you've bypassed and what you haven't.
Yeah.
He knows what he's shown you. And so, but we want to be able to worship God in full truth and give thanks to God by living out that truth. And so, all these things that Satan has put forth, even in the New Testament, is making God lesser by pulling away from him. In the eyes of the people, God is not one now, he's three. In the eyes of the people, the church has more word to say on how to live than Christ does. Right?
Yeah.
That's what they've done. And put such an anointing on it that they all believe it in such a fierce way that they say, you're not even a Christian if you don't believe those things. And put it on their websites. Because I've read it. That's what they've come to. Such a deception to make it so that anything and everything has higher preeminence than the Word of God does. Anything they want to push, hey, this is it. Got more preeminence. But remember that in all things, he should have the preeminence. But this is what they've done. They made Santa Claus, gift giving, and Easter bunnies a higher standing. If people, and I know anybody that knows we're in church on Christmas Day, there are people out there, I know, they're saying, what's the matter with the people? Why do they have church on Christmas? If you think that we're wrong for having church on Christmas, you're putting something else higher than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you think you should be home where you can open presents and have Santa Claus and all that stuff instead of church, you fell for the lie. You've drank Satan's Kool-Aid.
Right.
Because everything we do, we must do it in honor to God.
Amen.
And you can't honor God when you're believing a deception and living by it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. Like I said, they make Santa Claus, I call it Satan Claus, Santa Claus a deity. But by saying, oh, he can go to every home in one night. Only God could do that. Right? He knows everybody. He knows everything. See what I'm saying? That doesn't belong to something like that.
Right?
Right? But Satan is a shrewd fellow. Because he wants to make it really hard for people to return back to Jerusalem. Make it really hard. So we're gonna weave so much of the good of this tree of knowledge and good and evil. We're going to put so much good in there that nobody's going to want to hear a prophet or somebody stand up and tell you there's death in that.
Mm-hmm.
They won't want to hear it because there's so much good. And so we'll make sure that nobody can come along and condemn this Catholic holiday. We'll even come up with this idea about Grinches. So that if anybody is anti-Christmas, he's a Grinch. We'll sew it so deep and so tight that it'll make it almost impossible. And this will go the whole world over. The whole world will worship under this, supposedly worshiping Christ.
Right.
But I will tell you, in this 30 days leading up or whatever it is to Christmas, how much time have you spent thinking about, well, what are we going to eat? And how are we going to get together? And who's going to buy me a present? And what am I going to buy for somebody? How much time was spent doing that? And how much time was figuring out, How are we going to worship Christ?
Right.
How are we going to really, really give honor to our God for all that he's done for us? And I realize, I know that hurts, but that's the job of a minister, is to show you this deception. The Bible lets us know that gifts will pervert judgment. You see, all these other kingdoms, all they come and bring gifts to give. It's so that they might find favor in the eyes of the king they're giving the gift to. And a bribe and gifts will deceive, will pervert judgment. Is that what has happened? That nobody wants to believe that there's death in this? Nobody wants to realize that this is pulling away from God and giving Satan worship by believing this way and acting this way? And nobody wants to go there because they've been deceived by a gift, by the fact that we get gifts and it's so much fun and the children like it and all these different things. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
But Christ should be in all things. Right. And you can't put Christ in something that Satan has hatched up.
Right.
Now you can be correct in the way you live, and you can handle this like Brother Brandon did. He didn't condemn people when somebody would give him a present. Okay.
Right.
But he still stood behind the pulpit and told the truth.
Amen.
And said, I wish I could get people to understand what this is.
Right.
That if we're going to do anything at all, let it be Jesus Christ that we're giving glory to for what he's done. Because these other things are just man-made lies that Satan is laughing about, because the whole world today, they're not thinking, very few people are actually thinking about Christ. Oh, but this is Merry Christmas, Christ Mass. Mass is a Catholic phrase, right? Christ Mass. And you know what it is? They took pagan holidays, pagan things, and they merged together with Christianity, and they call it Christ Mass. Christmas. And so they make this Santa Claus guy. I laugh every time I hear Brother Branham say it's some guy by the name of Chris Kringle. I laugh because it's Chris Kringle, I think, but Kringle. And I say, yeah, that's right. He crinkled all right. You know? But making some deity out of this fellow, and I remember as a little kid, I was just a kid, but there was a kid younger than me, about 3 or 4 years, and I had a kid 2 or 3 years older than me get on to me because I was telling the kid younger than me that Santa Claus was a lie. I think I was about 5 or 6 years old, and it was just like a 3-year-old child or whatever, and Johnny Hallmark was the one that got on to me because I was telling that, and she knows who I'm talking about. Because I was telling that was a lie. I never believed that nonsense.
Right.
But you see, the toys and the gifts and the food and the candy that Grandpa would always get and put on the coffee table during Christmas time, and the joy and the happy spirit that everybody's in is so good. How could this be wrong? And it's wrong because it's taken away from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Pointing to something that is made by a Catholic system.
Right.
That's what makes it wrong. As Brother Branham said, and the world's falling apart, he said to take pagan things and tie Christ to it. The very thing he came to deliver us from, and tie it right back to that. And he said, that's the thing that's wrong. So we act like we're giving glory to God, but you're not. It's all about... You know when the scripture says that the Catholic Church, the harlot church, Babylon, because that was Babylon back then, but this is Mystery Babylon. But the merchants of the earth became rich through her. Hello? By everything that is sold for their holidays that they push. See? The whole world becoming rich. But you say, well, how can that be bad? Because it's so, and that's why Brother Brandon said it's a headache and it's a heartache.
Yeah. Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it is hard because then the little kids, they don't know any better. Mm-hmm. Brother Brandon said, they don't know. And so you feel compelled to do something for them because they go to, you know, all the other kids, and you know, and so you have to deal with it.
Right.
But you make sure that you deal with it right. And you teach them.
That's
and
right.
You show them.
Yeah.
That they grow up to understand that that we're going to honor Christ, really, and do everything we can to give honor to him and make sure we don't give honor to Kris Kringle.
Yeah, right.
That we give honor to God.
That's right.
That we don't live like the world. Listen, you mean, you say, well, but all December long, people are so full of joy and they have that Christmas spirit. You mean it takes a Catholic holiday spirit to get on you to give you joy instead of the Holy Ghost? Think about it.
Right.
We have to get caught up in some man-made Satan-anointed system to have joy in our lives. And our joy comes from a gift of that is given by man rather than a gift that comes from God. Really? But this is the way it's gone. And even in message churches,
right,
they still are hooked to it.
That's right.
Because they're not following what this prophet and what this Bible is told. They're lacking to see the big picture of the entire revelation of Satan coming down with his convenience and his compromise and his control. They're missing it.
Yes, big time.
And so that's what has happened.
Yeah.
Replacing what should be Christ with pagan rituals and idolatry. And then making it really hard for people to see and know. Anything wrong with the hospital? No. But it's Catholic, most of them. Mm-hmm. Or Baptist. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Amen.
Harlot and daughters. And look at all of it. And the schools and what they teach and the colleges.
Right.
Don't you see what Satan has done? Infiltrated everything except the Tree of Life. That's the only place that you can find freedom, to be free. This whole system is Babylon, confusion. By confusion or by peer pressure. She'll pull up Revelation chapter 22:14. Verse 40. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right. That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And no matter where you go in the world, it's survival of the fittest. No matter what. And it's the same way in Christianity. It is not meant to be easy. Life is a struggle.
Right.
To survive, you've got to defeat your enemies.
Amen.
And this life is not what it's all about. It's the life to come, right?
Amen.
That we have to defeat our enemies here to enjoy that. To be able to have right to that tree of life. Then we've got to follow his commandments, his word. It's not necessarily talking about 10 commandments, but we're talking about his word in its magnified form that Jesus Christ has brought to us in the form of the Holy Ghost to live by truth. That's what we must have. And by that, then we have right to that tree of life, and we can enter into that city because of that. Amen. And so, I want to see us put Christ back in everything. Right?
Amen.
And I have a problem when they say, let's put Christ back in Christmas. Well, I kind of have a problem with that because was he ever in there? And the reason why I say that is because that holiday was created by the Catholics.
Right.
So was he in it? No, just his name was in there.
Right? Right.
But look at the rituals and look at all the things, the idolatry and the spirit behind it of idolatry.
That's right.
Brother Branham said this, he said, you know what? He said, when they kill those two prophets, look in Revelation chapter 11. When they kill those two prophets who rise up and by the word of the Lord, they're bringing plagues upon this earth because they rejected God. And God allows that system to rise up and it kills those two prophets and their bodies laying in the streets for 3 days, right? 3.5 days, something like that. And the scripture said the whole world sent gifts to one another rejoicing because they overcame those prophets. They sent gifts rejoicing because what God was trying to do, they looked like they had conquered it. Instead of the word from prophets having preeminence, They snuffed it out, and now we get to rejoice in something because we've snuffed the word out. And think about it. Oh, we just have all these holidays and all this. Why? Because you've rejected the word of God and fell for a lie of the devil. And Brother Ram said, he said, see where that spirit comes from? I know it's a lot to think about. But brother, sister, I'm not trying to tell you you can't have gatherings and good times and all that and gifts or whatever it is. I'm saying stand back and look at the overall thing.
That's right.
The very thing that Jesus Christ came to set us free from. The very thing that a prophet is coming this hour to show us the truth of.
Amen.
Look at the big picture and live by that. And that means that all that we do in word or in deed, we need to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And we can't live out lies in the name of the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
But if we live according to the word of God, strictly the word, off of that tree of life, then we are giving honor and glory back to Almighty God.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you. Let's just bow our hearts and let the musicians come. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to the end of this service, I pray that your blessings be upon your people, Lord. I don't say these things, Lord, that they could just look at me or, Lord, but they would just be able to see you and see your truth. I'm trying this morning to tell them about you and to tell them about the enemy that you have and what he's done. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint these words into their lives like if there's ever been a time that they ever walked away from service and remembered these things, might be what they've heard today, Lord. They'd be able to take these things and they would be tools in their spiritual pouches, as well, that they could pull out and use it in their daily walk. Bless them, Lord. May they be able to have a wonderful time with their families today and just know that it's all because of what you've done that we have the freedoms and the joys that we do. And Lord, as we interact with a world that doesn't know, we pray, God, that you allow us to continue to be salty, Lord, to love them, to be their friends, but somehow, Lord, to woo them to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. I will stand. You love the Lord.
Amen.
I'm hoping that I'm still your friend. Amen. I hope I'm still your friend today. I trust and believe that I am. Amen. You didn't put me up here to tell you fairy tales.
Right.
Tell you the truth.
And as we pray.
Wednesday night talking about the Sermon on the Mount, seeing there that Jesus was saying that if we do the same thing that the rest of the world does, what difference is that?
Right.
That's right.
But he has anointed us to be perfect, like our Father in heaven is perfect.
Amen.
Because he's saying he pours his rain on the just and the unjust. He's nice to those who aren't nice to him, and he's nice to those who are. And he's telling us, you know, if we only should, if we're only good, if we only do what the rest of the world does, we're no different.
Right.
Then if that's all the Holy Spirit can produce in our life is a life that's just like all the rest,
right,
then he's not lifted up and no man's drawn to him.
Right.
If that's all we can do.
Right.
But you know as well as I do that he has come down to anoint us to live a life higher.
Amen.
A life that's salty.
Yes.
A life that's the light of the earth. Right?
Amen.
That's what he's come. And so even in the Christmas holidays and all the things,
right,
he has anointed us to live in such a way that we're higher than those things.
Mm-hmm.
And that it will make others want,
right,
what we have.
Amen.
That we can have peace in our hearts and joy in our hearts 365 days a year, not just in December.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. And so may the Lord bless you. If anybody needs prayer, we'll sing this again. You can come up. We'd be happy to pray with you.